Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
You look at other world religions, you look at other philosophies and belief systems. You're working your way towards the end. Jesus Christ says, no, we're starting right here. We're going to start at the end. You are my kids. You have the kingdom. It's yours.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Jordan Begay, Associate Pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, presents a special teaching in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
In Luke 4, Jesus begins to go to the wilderness. And we're going to kind of chat really what that looked like. And I want to offer up, and I believe it was what the Lord that would have, kind of just a roadmap on how to walk through the wilderness in such a way that there is victory. You guys, those of you who are, I suppose, you're born again. And think about today, you got to wake up holy, blameless, and above reproach in the sight of God. Because of the work of Jesus that 2,000 years ago-ish, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And God's presence was no longer something only one person once a year could enter into, but it's available to all who cry out and call in the name of Jesus. That the blood of Christ so effectively cleanses my sins and your sins, that we can enter into his presence. When we were worshiping today, we got to do that very thing. And he beckons and calls, doesn't he? He desires to have us with him. We woke up to that today, and tomorrow, guess what? You're going to wake up to it again. Isn't it great? Tomorrow we get the same thing, the day after that, the same thing. It is good to know Jesus. It's good to be born again. It's good to have the life and the Spirit of God filling us up, which is what we're going to talk about today, because there's no way to walk through the wilderness apart from the Spirit of God and the Word of God and him being led like that. So Luke chapter 4, a couple of verses. We're kind of going to skip the whole wilderness part, and you'll see why. Notice it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and then note this, please, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And being tempted for 40 days by the devil, in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when it had ended, he was hungry. And Luke makes an interesting point. In other gospels, you find this is right after the baptism, where Jesus, it would seem, identifies himself with sinful people. And now he's moving into this area of temptation in the wilderness, that he would identify with us. Hebrews 4 tells us that we have a high priest who can sympathize with us, right? He knows exactly what you're going through. He's been through it. He's been there. Think to Lazarus even. Does he know the grief and sorrow when he looks out and sees a world torn by sin, an untimely death of somebody that he loved very dearly, and we see that he wept because of it? He knows our sorrows. He knows our temptations. He knows what it's like to experience these things. Even for those who are persecuted, he's been there. The cross was there where he was persecuted. He knows what it's like. We can run to him in a time of need. We go to him. Where else do we go? Well, there are other things. No. But as we look through this, two things to point out, and then we'll look at the very end of what happened. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there's going to be three things I want you guys, if you take notes, to write down. We'll go through three of them. Some will take a little longer than others. It won't take long at all, though. Number one, we can trust God to fill us with his Spirit. That he's promised it, him to us. And we can hold him to that because he's trustworthy. And we'll expound on that. The second thing, we can trust God to lead us. And then I would ask, like, do you trust God to lead you? But we can. It's possible. He is trustworthy to lead us and to guide us, even though sometimes it might be into a wilderness experience. But we find that those are very profound times, important times in our walk with the Lord, where we learn things about the power of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God, even the power of fellowship and being together that we would have never otherwise known had we not been through a time like that. And we find that it's at those times we can then share with other people, that we're armed to be able to help others because of that. The name of Jesus is exalted because of our experiences and what the Lord has allowed to happen. And then finally, the third thing is we can trust that his ways work. And so how he prescribes walking through the wilderness, how he prescribes everyday Christian life is effective. That does not mean it's easy, but it is effective. We can trust him for that. You'll note there at the very end, though, in verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. You see, it's bookended by those two things. And Luke's the only gospel that really gives it like that. Filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit through tremendous difficulty. And then finally, what happens on the other side of it? And he's in the power of the Spirit. And this is when Jesus then began his ministry, really. It just goes. Disciples are being added to him at that point in time. But for some reason, and we probably understand why, because this was testing. As he goes through this, does Jesus know the difficulties of sin? And the answer is he knows it better than anybody else, right? Because he took it further. He never sinned. He knows the pressure and the things that come against us. Where I would cave, he didn't. He knows the full pressure. He knows exactly what it's like. More than I ever could, because I cave. But he knows. He experienced all these different things, a desire perhaps to gratify the flesh, a desire to have things another way, to achieve something in a fashion that was inordinate or not how God had ordained it, to see praise be given to him in a way that God had not set it up, or to give praise to another that he might receive something. How many different times do we desire these things and want things to gratify my flesh in a way that is not correct? God gives us pleasure. He's the originator of it, right? He gives it. He made these things. In fact, we're to take pleasure in him. But the desire for pleasure, the desire for the things of the world like that could creep in, and we can begin to do them or see those things operating in a way that is not good, and it leads to death, which we'll end up talking about. So first thing, we can trust that he'll fill us. So go to John 16. At this point, Jesus knows what's coming. He's getting really close to it, to the very end, and he's sharing some things with his disciples that he needs them to remember. This being a really important one. We'll start in 7. So John 16, verse 7, and this is pertaining to the idea that we can trust that he will fill us. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. And you who see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. He will speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you about the things to come. We were promised by Jesus Christ himself that he would fill us. He tells us that he won't leave us orphans. That he has to go somewhere, but he's sending a helper. That's the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos. He's come alongside of us. And he fills us up. He enables us to do this work. So God will fill you. So let's say you struggle with some things. I don't know. The Spirit's there to help. We cry out, right? We spend time in prayer. We spend time on our knees before the Lord saying, this is where I'm struggling, whether it's to be a husband to love my wife appropriately and correctly and well, to love my children like I need to love them, to be patient with them. But not only that, and in this season of life, we find ourselves in the difficulty of just FaceTiming with them and knowing them and seeing them and looking them in the eyeball and like knowing who they are. Do you really know who your kids are? I want that, but I'm telling you what, I need the Spirit of God. When I come home, you sit in the driveway, and you guys might know how this is, guys and gals, sit there and it's like, Lord, prepare me for what's coming. and my poor wife is in it all day. You know what I'm saying? But you sit in there, and I was encouraged. This was encouragement from someone to me to sit in the car and ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God. To do what? Well, to walk into my house. That's pretty wild stuff, man. But you guys know. You know, man, wild stuff. You never know. Whether you have 53 kids or one kid, man, it's wild enough. Or a dog, maybe. I don't know. But it's wild stuff. And so you ask God, fill me through it. And it's a good thing. I'm telling you, the Lord hears those prayers. And it seems somewhat frivolous at the time. But I know that my tendency and what I'm really good at doing is being a lazy piece of trash and feeling like I maybe have earned a little bit of rest when I come home. But my goodness, my wife's been busting all day with these wild things that we've produced. And I come home, it's not time to rest. I want to rest so desperately. Who doesn't want to rest? You know, my kids, they don't want to rest. But man, and so we sit there, Lord, help me, fill me up, going to work where you guys are. Can you be a boss, like a literal boss? One that is own of a company. Can you be a boss that changes the culture of your company, the place that you're found because you're so filled with the Spirit, your employees want to get saved? Let's go. We can do that. Hey, what do you do? I cry out, man. Ask the Lord to fill you up with His Spirit and enable you. He said that He would. Are there difficult times? Absolutely. Do you want to be an employee that changes the culture of your company, the place that you work? The answer is, you better be if you follow Christ. Well, hey, you need filled with the Spirit because you can't do it. I can't be a person who changes my house, my work, the culture. I can't be a person that changes the attitude or the area of my neighborhood. I've got nothing to offer. And you guys know that, if any of you know me, but you as well. Okay. We need to be filled up with the Spirit. And here's the beautiful thing. Like, I want that, right? And you guys can sit here. We nod our heads because it's amen, of course. But it's difficult because to get to that place, man, there's this area of like being led into the wilderness. It's hard. Yeah, I can sit in my car and pray, and I do believe that the Lord will fill. He says He will. I might not feel like I'm filled. I might not feel it, but that's why it's we trust that it's the case. We reckon it to be so. This kind of filling is the same thing you see in the book of Acts, where the Spirit of God would just work in a special way. Similar and filled with power, Jesus promised it there in Acts chapter 1. We see it happen there in 2. Naturally, as this goes, as we're filled by the Spirit, what comes next is we can trust that He will lead us, that He'll show me how I can walk in my house and love my wife, love my kids. The storm sometimes that you walk into when you're sitting in the parking lot getting ready to go to work, you can trust that as He fills you with His Spirit, that He will lead you to say the things you ought to say, to love the way you ought to love. When you're walking in your neighborhood, man, He can lead you to people. He can lead you to say things, to do things, or whatever else it might be. We can trust Him because He's huge, because He's worthy of it, because He's God, and we look to Him. Here we are as people. He fills us up, right? And He leads us. Where is He leading you? And then do we ask Him to lead us? Do we position ourselves where we can hear from Him to do that? Well, how do we hear from Him? We spend time with Him. Just like if I wanted to hear instructions on what to do about certain, I would sit with the person and listen to them. The Lord longs and desires that kind of relationship, communion with us, but He wants to lead us. Go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And although you can quote it, sometimes I think it's nice to look at it. Obviously, in the realm of trust, that He'll lead us. Will He really lead us? Is He a good and loving Father? And the answer is amen. Yes, He is. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. This is a promise given in Scripture that we as believers hold on to. We look at this and say, Lord, I want you to lead me and I want you to guide me. I'm going to trust that as I take these steps and go, that you're going to be leading and guiding. Is it difficult? Yeah, it's different. Are you kidding me? If it wasn't, everyone would be great. We wouldn't have to share a sermon like this, right? But it is hard because I've got the flesh that's in there as well. I've got things that are not of the Spirit of God that are vying for my attention, fighting in my head where I want to be recognized, or I want my way, or I want my rights done. And yet there's the will of God and the desire of God that supersedes and is above all things, and that's what I want to see done. But it takes some breaking, I think, and a constant lifestyle of brokenness, Lord help us, to come to that place where I will submit to him. I don't want to naturally. The natural man wants to rule and reign and destroy. And that's the best that I can do when I'm ruling and reigning and destroy, whether it's purity, whether it's, like I said, family, work, whether it's being an heir, whatever else it might be, that's the best that I can offer. But there is something given to us. The Spirit of God has been given that we would know that. Do I trust him to lead me? Ask him to lead me. Do I set myself before him and say, Lord, here it is. I probably, and you guys might also hold on to things. Man, you hold on to whatever else it might be. Things that bring you comfort. Things that allow you to sit where you want to sit and not have to move. And yet you feel a tug on your heart. The Spirit of God is saying he's got something for you. Powerful, more. He wants to use your life, every single one of you, to bring glory to his name, that just oftentimes isn't done sitting around doing nothing, right? He wants to use us. He wants to fill us up that he might lead us. So we're filled up with the Spirit of God that he might lead us into the different things that he has. A really good example of this is in Acts chapter 16. Go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 16, Paul's doing his work. Chapter 13, he was commissioned by a church in Antioch that was planted by somebody that he was persecuting, or at least they were fleeing from his persecution. He then was sent out, and something tremendous takes place here in 16. If you look over in 1536, and I think this is a really instructive area, and I want to encourage you guys, you know, as we go on, he'll fill us. We can trust him to fill us. We can trust him to lead us. And we can trust that his ways work, that are effective. Effective for what? Like changing a car tire? No. Like bringing people to him. Seeing his name glorified. Walking a life that's victorious. Walking not in bondage of sin. Being able to be used by him. That's the effective part. 1536, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, imagine they're just sitting around. Paul's sitting there. He's like, he nudges Barnabas. He's like, Barnabas, he's like, let's go back and visit everybody that we just saw, right? So they had gone through a small part, kind of right there, centrally located, north of Israel and then a little west. As they're going, Paul's like, you know what? It'd be probably a good idea to go back and visit them and see how they're doing. Are they staying strong in the doctrines that were being taught? Is a church being persecuted, right? You can't just call back then. He actually had to go there physically. Because remember, this is all brand new. The gospel's brand new in Derbe and Lystra. Brand new up there where Timothy lived and his mom and his grandma lived. Brand new stuff. Well, how are they doing, right? Barnabas is like, great idea. Come on, Mark. And then Paul's like, no, you're not taking Mark. Then they get in a big fight and they leave. We're skipping that part. That gets us to 16:6, though. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Again, this is being led by the Spirit. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit would not permit them. He was kind of wanting to go up and veer to the right. If you're looking at a map, let's go over here. The Spirit said, no, I got something else cooking up for you, Paul. And so passing by Mysia, they came to the town of down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul at night, a man of Macedonia. That's across a little bit of a lake, right? They got to sail a little boat over into what would be Europe. A vision appeared. Macedonia guy stood pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After he saw the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is an opportunity or a place where Paul had the ability to sit and hear the Spirit of God speak to him. What do you mean the Spirit of God resisted him? What did it look like? Did he hop down there and say, hey, I don't want you to go this way? They sensed as they were sitting before the Lord, filled with the Spirit, that the peace had gone from going up that direction. Something about it, something had been removed from going that way, and it's like, that's not where we're supposed to go. As they're sitting around praying, maybe they're fasting and hanging out with the king, the Lord speaks to them, and they all just can agree, like, I think we're supposed to go there. They attribute it to the work of God, leading them or not leading them to a particular place. And finally, they come to this conclusion, like, they were given a vision. He's like, you know what? Sounds like we're supposed to go to Macedonia. They're like, it sounds good, Paul. Let's go. So they hop over, and you know what awaited them in Macedonia? In Philippi, everywhere he went, a bunch of beatings, a bunch of whippings. And in Philippi, he got beat pretty hard. That's what awaited him. So think just being led by the Spirit, right? Filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, right into this place where the enemy tempted him for 40 days. Paul being forbidden to go this way, forbidden to go that way. No, Paul, I want you to go this way. What did it lead him to? It was hard. And it happens sometimes. Here's the beauty of it, though. The Lord sees it, and the Lord's leading, and we are his servants. So what does he have? That's a hard place to come to. I don't say that frivolously. I don't say it just to say it. I know that it's a serious statement. And sometimes difficult to come to, like, where do we trust him? Is he good? Do I realize that this life isn't my own? Do I realize that we're just sojourners here? And we have a tremendous responsibility and opportunity to serve Jesus Christ with our lives, man. What an opportunity. He fills us and he leads us that we might be used by him. Just as Paul did here, to be led by the Spirit. Now we'll transition, go to Romans, because this is where we're going to kind of end up. Romans chapter 8. Into more of the practical matters. Well, how am I led by the Spirit? What's it look like to walk in the Spirit and to allow the Lord to move? Is there a position? Is there a place where I can be that is healthy and good? And the answer is yeah. And there's practical things laid out here. So the first one, can I trust that he'll fill me? Amen and yes. Can I trust he will lead me? Yeah, he'll lead you. We just had a bunch of people graduate, like all over the world, I guess, the nation, and here. Can you trust that he'll lead you where you're supposed to go? And the answer is absolutely. 6 weeks before I went to Murrieta, California, to Bible college, I was going to Indiana Wesleyan University. And I got enrolled and accepted, and my girlfriend at the time. She's my wife now, though. We were going to go together, and it was awesome. We'd been together, you know, forever and ever, and this is perfect. I was going to go to IWU and do Indiana Wesleyan and do youth ministry or something to that effect. She was going to run in college because she's a beast and do something there. And the Lord did a tremendous work that summer. In my heart, where a revival of sorts took place in the town of Crawfordsville, Indiana. And a bunch of my peers who had just one night gotten wasted at their graduation open house, the next day they were born again. And a really neat time took place. It was a unique time that I can remember where every single night that summer, man, we were hanging out together, fellowshipping in the Word of God, Bible studies. Dudes who were like, shouldn't have been teaching the Bible, were teaching the Bible, but they were filled with the Spirit. You know, like, they're like, why? How you can't even hardly read. But he was teaching the Word of God. It was awesome. It really was. It was an incredible thing to see the hand of God, the Spirit of God move on people. Just don't see it as often as we'd like, you know. And it was during that time, watching and seeing, and we were doing some street witnessing, you know, once a week and all these things. And it's just like my heart was really burning. I felt like I just really didn't have much to offer people. And I was like, Lord, what do you want to do? And like I said, 6 weeks before I went, he just changed everything and was like, you're going out to Bible college. I'm like, what? So now he's separating my wife and I, or my girlfriend and I. That wasn't good. It actually was good because we weren't good. But we're separated. This is a good thing. But here's what happened. He led me right into one of the most difficult seasons of my life and just being really broken. She broke up with me. Can you believe it? And I couldn't either. She had found some skinny runner guy. And was really broken. But the beautiful part of it all is that I was at a place I had nowhere else to go. I was having some of the greatest teaching I've ever heard in my entire life. Right there. And the Lord met me in a really special way. Broken. We can trust that he'll lead us. We can trust that he'll leave us. But man, I'm telling you, sometimes he doesn't lead us to like a rose field, which I guess would be awful because there's thorns. Bad example. A field of mattresses or something. I love fields of mattresses. But so he doesn't lead us to those things. You guys know. It's hard. No doubt it is. And you guys have experienced your own things. Praise the Lord, we don't necessarily experience persecution. Jesus promised that, and there is persecution that takes place. We experience hardship, right? We experience grief. We experience loss of loved ones. We experience the loss of health. Jobs are gone. We experience hard things. Praise the Lord, it's not persecution. We experience hard things. Romans chapter 8. 13 and 14, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. And I love how straightforward that is. If you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. How do I put to death the deeds of the body? By the Spirit. Isn't that restful? So you guys can sit back on your chairs and just offer praise to the Lord. Because it's by the Spirit. That means it's not me doing it. It's not me trying to set these lists and I'm not doing this and I'm not doing this and I'm checking that off. This is something to where the Lord desires, listen please, a relationship where you actually meet with him. I don't want to subvert a relationship to get some behavior. That's not the point. He desires my heart. That's the thing there, even with Jesus, as he's looking at the scribes and Pharisees, he's saying, the point wasn't to make this possible. The point was for it to be impossible, that you would see your need for a Savior. You can't do it. You can't live a life of purity. You can't live a life that you're supposed to live. You can't do this and that. You have to have Jesus. You have to know him. You have to run to him and seek him. That's where we go. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. And it's like, oh God, thank you so much. Thank you so much that's how you've set this up. He could have done it other ways. And there are other things. You look at other world religions. You look at other philosophies and belief systems. You're working your way towards the end. Jesus Christ says, no, we're starting right here. We're going to start at the end. You are my kids. You have the kingdom. It's yours. You've been given it. You've been forgiven. You're not working for it. God is so good. That's why we can thank him and give praise that we woke up today, holy, blameless, and above reproach. All he wants me to do is know him, experience relationship with him. So we do it by the deeds. He'll lead us in that. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. The last thing, we can trust that his ways work. If you just look back, Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh, set their mind on things of the flesh. What's it to set your mind on something? It means that you're thinking about it, right? It's real simple, I know. But you're just thinking about it. That's where your mind goes. When you're upset or when you're tired or when you think you've earned something or you've earned some rest, where does your mind go? What do you think about? What do you entertain? These different things. Set your mind. If I live according to my flesh, I'll set my mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then we can even add, well, then what's that look like? Go to Colossians 3. There's a little bit of a prescription here. For those of you who desire to be used by God, for those of you who have experienced not walking how you want to walk, if you have a desire within your heart to please the Lord and to know him, to see him high and lifted up. Know this, he will fill you up. And know this, he will lead you and that his ways work. Does that mean you might have to be disciplined in ways? Absolutely, you might have to be disciplined to know him, to get together with him. Does that mean it requires time? Yep, absolutely it does. But it's worth it, right? We can probably come to a place and say, it's worth it. I want to know him and be used by him to see my marriage good, to see my relationships at home, between mom and dad good, whatever else it might be. I want these things to be God glorifying. Chapter 3, we're just going to remember these things, to remember to walk in these things, to put them, remember your position, remember what goes off, and then to live intentionally. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Where's my mind going? What tells? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where your position is. You're not earning that position. It's done. You've died. Because of this, man, set your mind on things above. Think about the things above. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but we don't any longer, right? It's the idea. It's different now. We're not sons of disobedience. We're sons, and then all I, ladies, we're daughters of God. If you're led by the Spirit, you're the sons of God. Positions changed. Who I am has changed. My identity's changed. It's Christ now. But now you yourselves put these things off: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to each other. You've put off the old man with his deeds, and you've put on the man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, forgive. Could we use some of that? Oh, amen. Lord, you look at this and like you could literally just pray through this. If I want to set my mind on things above, here, go right here to Colossians 3 and sit before the Lord and pray through these things. Lord, take these things out. Lord, I want this to come in. Let this be seen and known. Let your Spirit fill me. That this would be evidence. That the fruit of the Spirit would be evident. And right here, this is where we can go. Right here. Pray through it. And the whole script, that's why I have scripture. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love. It's the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. Be thankful. Finally, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're going to take an opportunity and just hang out with the Lord. Ed's got, I think, two songs. Is that right? Ed's got two songs, and I just want to encourage you, remember, he'll fill us, we can trust him to fill us, we can trust him to lead us, and we can trust that his ways work, that as we hang out and read these things in scripture, put off, to put on, to know that he'll do these things, we can trust him. We'll take a moment, hang out with the Lord, let him minister to us through song. If there is repentance that needs to take place, for crying out loud, repent. Ask God to forgive you. Let him bring you back if you've gone to a place you shouldn't have gone. Y'all can come up. I don't know. Awkward transition, I guess. Sorry. Smooth right here, isn't it? We're smooth here. And it's my fault. I don't know. I just am bad at it. But we need him to offer ourselves, to say, here we are. There's areas, man, where it's just not so good. And that's okay. Our position doesn't change. His love for us doesn't change. The veil doesn't get sewn back up. Mm-mm. It's torn. It's going to stay torn. Your ability to know the Lord doesn't change because it's contingent upon the blood of Christ. Ah, thank you, Father. All right, let's pray. Father, we give praise to you. No one else has done what you have done. We're here. All these people have gathered this morning to worship you. and to sing songs of praise because you alone are worthy. And we ask that you would send us your Spirit again, that you would fill us up with power, just as Jesus, Lord, you were given power to go do ministry. Will you give us power to go do ministry? Give us power to make disciples. Will you give us power to overcome sin, to walk in a life of holiness? It all comes from you, Lord. And we cry out that you would do that work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.